Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Metal Magdalene with Jet. Tonight we have with us a very special guest. We have Greg McIntosh from the band Paradise Lost. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Oh, thank you, Jet. It's good to be here.
Okay, Greg, so tell us a little bit about the early history of Paradise Lost, you know, how you guys kind of all met up and formed this band.
We were very young, actually. I knew the guitar player and the drummer from school.
Mm-hmm.
We met when we were 11 years old. and I met the singer and the bass player in a local metal rock bar that we used to go to at the age of about 16. So, yeah, we've known each other a heck of a long time, really. And it was just through a love of the same music, really. We just all like kind of doom metal and death metal and just metal and whatever. So we just, we started playing together and we're still here, unbelievably.
Well, that's a good thing. No, Greg, yeah. I have to say that Paradise Lost, definitely not your average band in any way, shape, or form, that's for sure. The band's been around for almost 25 years with practically the same lineup in all those years, except for your drummer switched out now and then. Usually bands have been around for so long, have some kind of changes. What do you attribute to you guys, like, never beating the crap out of each other or splitting up or anything?
we've had our moments over the years. But I think it's easier now than it ever was. You know, I mean, I think you reach a certain point where you know how everybody's breaking point. You know how much space to give everybody. But also, I mean, we still treat this as we did when we first started. You know, we started it as friends and then moved on to doing this as a hobby and then moved on to doing it as a career. But still, all we think of it as is we're just a bunch of friends that still do it for a hobby, really. You know,
the whole point
of doing it for us is just to have fun doing it. I mean, especially with the industry how it is these days, it's good to have that, you know. When
it is.
Doing it, you know.
It is. It's pretty brutal. And speaking of changes, Paradise Lost has gone through many of them musically. When you first started out, of course, you guys were extremely doomy with your deathy-styled vocals, and then you started moving to more gothic-y music, which really seems to have, had a lot of doom-type elements to it anyways, just a little more sophisticated, you know, if you will. And people really took notice when you guys came out with gothic. Many industry people even going as far as saying that it was Paradise Lost that really kind of created this whole gothic metal genre, if you will. Tell us a little bit about that time.
We just liked a lot of early gothic music, like, most of it was in the English scene in the north, where we're from, actually, you know, like Sisters of Mercy and bands like that. But we also loved a lot of the metal stuff that was around, a lot of the doom metal, you know, early Sabbath and things like that, Trouble and stuff. So we just decided that we wanted to use all our influences, not just some of them. So we put it all together in one thing. And I remember doing an interview in about 1988, 89, and they used to like their pigeonholing, you know. They said, you're not death metal, you're not doom metal, you're not gothic, what are you? and our singer just said, well, you can just call us gothic metal then, and that's been officially recognised the first time it was in print. Like, I guess we invented the catchphrase, but as to whether the whole genre span from us, I don't think so, because, I mean, if you ask a kid on the street today what gothic metal is, he'd probably say something like Marilyn Manson or... Yeah, and we really don't have much to do with that.
Right. I know what you're talking about. But I think what, a lot of people say, even though it's been around, I think you guys brought more notice to it. You know what I mean? Because you were a little more public, you know what I mean? A little more out there than a lot of these other bands. I think they just were automatically like, okay, these are our creators now, so... You're the one. And also, you know, you guys had that DVD too, you know, Over the Madness, that talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of bands do sort of, did spring out after we did that record and did acknowledge it as where they started their style from, but we also had people who we used as mentors, so it's nothing uncommon for bands to do, you know. You start somewhere, you use bands as your benchmark, and then you move on, and it's nice to have been involved in some of these bands, you know, inception, which is, it's always an honor, you know.
Sure. Now, more of the clean vocals were introduced on Shades of God. Then you started doing even more experimental, you know, electronic type things with 1 second. How did you guys keep staying on the same page going through these extreme changes in the band, really, from at least from the listener point of view?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to how much touring we were doing at the time,
and
I guess attention span and how bored you get. I mean, you know, I've always been a great lover of metal, you know, in a lot of different forms, and that will never change. But I defy anyone to be on the road for 3 years with maybe days off here and days off there and doing the same thing night after night without wanting to develop somewhat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more out of keeping ourselves happy that any of that came about, you know. It was like, do we split up? Do we carry on doing the same thing over and over again, or do we try something else? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Greg, what were fan reactions to some of this stuff? I mean, some of this stuff was really pretty extreme from, you know, album to album.
Well, I mean, obviously you're not going to please everybody, and, you know, I mean, yeah, definitely. We called the rift in our fan base, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean that's bound to happen, really. There's
sure.
nothing we could have done about it. But you can't write records just to please a certain section of fans.
Sure.
They're listening to you because they want to hear your take on something. And you know, I've been fans of bands over the years where I like one album better than another. I think it's perfectly natural.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, we're just not the kind of band that can just stick to a set routine just to keep other people happy, you know, by that nature, you know.
Yep, and now you guys also signed with some big labels and been on tours all over the place. How's that experience been for you? I mean, do you enjoy touring and all that kind of stuff that goes along with the business, too?
It depends. Depends on the tour, depends on the gig, you know, depends on the people that you're with.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything else in life, really, you know, if you're with good people, people that you get on with, things that are well organized, you know,
it's a good experience.
It can be a lot of fun, but by the same token, it can be a nightmare at certain times. But we've been very fortunate to do some of the tours we've done over the years and meet some of the people that we've met. You know, it's, I mean, I've met most of the people who I would class as heroes of mine, musical heroes, and more often than not, I've been pleasantly surprised. So it's you know, I can't complain here.
It is nice. Now you did Ozfest too, right?
Yeah. I mean, the first time we played with Ozzy was I think early to mid '90s. We did the first Monsters of Rock Ozzy. Well, it's kind of a pre-runner to the Ozfest that we did in Mexico and South America with Ozzy and Megadeth and Alice Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we did all that, and that was the first time we met Ozzy, and then we've played with him many times over the years. So it's always a pleasure to play with him, because, I mean, really, for me, you know, the Ozzy era of Sabbath was the thing that started it all, you know.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Okay, Greg, let's talk a little bit about the new album you have out now, Tragic Idol. It was released this past April. What was the inspiration behind this album?
It was kind of taking it back to a little bit of grassroots, really. I mean, on the album that we did previous to that, we had a lot of orchestration, and it was kind of fairly, you know, it was fairly overblown, you know, but there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that's what we wanted to do. But when we came to do Tragic Idol, I had a very clear goal in mind. I just wanted to strip everything away and try and do a kind of almost a basic death metal, doom metal album.
Mm-hmm.
But with a lot of the things that we've learnt over the years in there.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that, strip something right down and have none of the orchestration, things like that, but still have the same feel, you have to inject a lot more melody, I think. So I guess the new album is more melodic than the previous one, and, you know, it's not as over the top, but I think it's kind of more true to the source of the band.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of, you know, if someone said to me what sums up, name an album that sums up Paradise Lost, I would say the Icon album, really,
mm-hmm.
which is an album we did in about 94.
Right.
And I think this comes somewhere between that and maybe the album before that. So it's, you know, it's kind of looking back to some of our previous records, but more really to the previous records' influences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of this was inspired by a lot of the early doom metal, which it's something that we always harp back to on occasion, and something that will never really leave us as an inspiration.
So did you incorporate anything new on this, or was the new thing that you did was not incorporate anything new in this as far as, like, you know, instrumentation or guests or anything like that?
No, there was no guests. It was all just us, you know, five just doing our thing. But really, when you say you don't incorporate anything new, I think in every record you do, it's inevitable that something new is added to the mix because, you know, you've learned something. You know,
sure.
Your experience has moved on for 3 years, you know. It's the same with the lyrics. You know, people say, you know, your lyrics have always been about this and always been about that, you know, about life and death and all, just mourning in general. But I think, you know, because you don't do an album every year, you maybe do one every 3 years or whatever, your viewpoint has completely changed.
Sure.
But inevitably, the whole thing shifts slightly, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many tracks are on this one, and do you have any bonus tracks on it?
We did 12 tracks for the album.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an extra track that we put on the special edition. And there was also a track that we released just for a special edition on the cover of Decibel magazine, which was like a flexi disc. And I still get people asking me today if I can send them a high resolution version of it, you know, like a good quality version, because the sound of them taping it on a flexi disc wasn't possible. So maybe that'll turn up somewhere, you know, in a better
quality
at some point, but not for the foreseeable. But yeah, I think there were 12 tracks on the album in total.
Now, has this just come out on CD? And I know you said you have a couple of things over there on that floppy with Decibel, but or do you have any vinyl out or any special packages with this particular CD?
Yeah, I mean, we always do vinyl because
nice.
we grew up with vinyl.
Right.
Our thing, really. You know, I mean, I used to love waiting for my picture discs and tape albums, looking at the packaging for hours and hours. You know, so yeah, that's incredibly important to us. So, I mean, I know it's not as important in real terms today as in the industry, but for certain people, it still means a hell of a lot. You know, packaging.
Yeah, I like
important.
It. Mm-hmm.
And covers and things like that. And on this album, yeah, as well, we did a box version where you have a like poster in and a vinyl version and the CD version and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's nice to have good vinyl quality versions of your album.
Oh, yeah.
But I think a lot of the different versions of albums where there's five or six different versions come out, that's more of a record label thing because of the current climate in the industry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just inevitability of people downloading things. People want more special versions of things to have, you know.
Right. Well, I really think within the last 5 to 8 years, vinyl has become really huge again. You know what I mean? There was bands prior to that releasing it here and there. And there was a couple of collectors, but now it's like, that's like the first thing people want to know. Is it also coming out in vinyl? Is it also coming out in vinyl? So, you know, I think it's kind of cool. Like you said, you get that whole package in your hand. It's a little more exciting than just the disc. You know, you like a little bit more. I mean, the music is still just as great, but you can see it, you know? You don't have to squint.
I also think it's because the CD because you could get the digital download and the same or quality. The CD has become a little bit more of a less special thing when you can get a digital download.
Mm-hmm.
Vinyl is still something tangible and real about it, tactile about it, you know.
Right, exactly. Now, how did you guys go about recording this one? Do you have, you know, your own studio?
I have my own home studio, and so does our singer, and we kind of work from home, touring and throwing on things until we then go and demo or something. And I think also that's another thing that's happened in the industry over the last few years, that bands are having to be more and more prepared for the studio, because there's not the same money that there was in the industry where you can just spend 3 months in a stately home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the emphasis is on being very, very well prepared and knowing exactly how you want an album to sound, exactly how you want the songs to be before you even enter the studio.
Mm-hmm. So what has early fan reaction been like? I mean, it's been out for a couple of months now. I mean, have you seen people singing or any of your shows now? You know how they sing along with the band, some of the stuff off the new one?
Yeah. well, we did, shortly after the album came out, within the same week, we did a European tour, the first leg of our European tour. And we saw some responses from that, but not too much because too close to the album's release, really. So the big test, really, was we've just done a lot of summer festivals around Europe. And we did an Australian Soundwave Festival tour there. We did it's like a big Lollapalooza-type festival that travels to Australia. So we did that and a lot of European festivals. And, that seems to be the big test, and it's been great. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely at least a couple of tracks, two, three tracks from the new album that have already become quite anthem-type tracks where, you know, people are really cheering for them and singing along to them, so that's always a good sign for a record.
Yeah, it is, because you know people are paying attention to it.
Yeah.
Also, Greg, what's that like? I mean, just as a personal point of view, to be up there, all right? Greg McIntyre, same as everybody else in the world, up there, and you could see these people singing along to, like, music that you've written. I mean, you're up on stage. Did you ever think in a million years that this would be your career? Are you happy?
yeah, I'm happy with it. It took me a while to get used to it. I mean, you know, we've been going nearly 25 years, and I'm only just coming to terms with it, really. It's something that, you know, you're only ever as good as your last record.
Sure.
And I don't think we've ever taken it for granted. We always thought, you know, like, you know, this is something that's a hobby and we just enjoy it and we're just going to enjoy it while it lasts. And I'm as surprised as anyone that we're still here doing it and still, you know, coming up with stuff that's being seen as relevant to the modern metal scene, you know.
Yeah, and people are still enjoying it, and you're, I mean, really, I think with the way that you guys have matured or evolved, if you will, as a band, you pick up a lot of new fans. I mean, maybe some old fans might be a little disappointed, but, you know, it's like you said now, like this new one that you have out, you kind of go back to some of your older elements, and those fans that were kind of like, well, I don't know about this new stuff, will be like, well, this is kind of cool because of this. You know what I mean? So you never really lose to anybody, you know, and God, I just think it's a good thing all in all, the way you guys kind of evolve, even though it seems like some of the changes you've made have been so extreme, especially when you went from the real early doomy stuff to where you are now, where some of the really early people might be like, oh my God, I don't even understand it, but then you kind of take some elements from your early stuff, and then they could kind of understand, you know what I mean? I don't know, I'm rambling, women's stuff.
Well, we grew up in the sort of English crust punk and death metal scene.
Sure.
But playing with bands like Extreme Noise Terror and Carcass and Death and stuff. So we learned very early on that even from the demos that, you know, as soon as we went onto vinyl, there were people saying we'd sold out because we'd gone onto vinyl. So
right.
We learned very early on that you just can't please everyone.
That's true. Now, when you guys play out, do you ever throw in any of the old stuff just to kind of throw the crowd for a loop there?
No, I would love to do that. our singer, Nick, really. He said, you know, mixing the modern style with that style would just blow his throat within the first.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. He might get hurt, but I think it would be great to see him up there, especially to see the crowd reaction of the new people being like, what the hell? Nick has gone evil.
I know, it would be strange.
It would be great. He's got to practice on that. That would be fantastic. Okay, so hey, you guys are kicking off a tour next week, right? The Epic Kings and Idols tour?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, with Catatonia and Devon Townsend, and yeah, we start in Seattle, I think, in about a week.
And do you know how long that tour goes for?
It's just over 3 weeks, I think. We start over on the you know, over in Seattle, move into Canada, and then move all the way across the States and end up in the last three shows in New York, Baltimore, and Philadelphia, I think. So we managed to incorporate everything in between, I think, just about.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big tour there. Like you said, you'll be on there with well, actually, you didn't see it, but Devin Townsend, Catatonia, you guys, couple other of Century Media bands. So it's a great tour. Now, do you have anything planned for after that tour? Are you doing any European stuff? I mean, you said you've been doing a lot of stuff this summer over there.
Yeah, we did have the first leg of the European tour earlier this year, and because of some of the festivals, we have to cut that short and do festivals. So,
right.
As soon as the US tour finishes, we have like 5 or 6 days off, and then we start the second leg of the European tour, which is about a month. So, yeah, I'm not really at home for the next 2 months.
Well, you get a whole 5 days off.
Yeah.
Just to realize what time zone you're in, just to take off again to another one.
Yeah, I'm kind of used to it this year. It's been going on all year this year. I mean, the hard one was Australia.
Oh.
And coming back and going straight into touring Europe, that was the hard one. But
it's like you miss a whole day.
That's right, yeah.
It is crazy. You know what, Greg? How do you keep up with that? I mean, does it get tougher as time goes on, if you will? I mean, as far as your health, and you're going to all these countries, and all these countries have all these different diseases, if you will. How the hell do you guys stay healthy? Do you like bathe in Purell or something?
That would be nice. It's kind of just knowing your limits a bit more,
mm-hmm.
you know, and pacing yourself a little bit better. And you just get used to grabbing sleep when you can and grabbing food when you can, because really, as long as you eat well and you sleep okay, you can deal with most of the things. You know?
You should be all right. Okay, Greg, tell us where people can go follow the band, what site you got out there so they could see where you're playing and where to get your merchandise and that kind of stuff.
We've got our own band store. Well, the website is paradiseboss.co.uk. There's also a Facebook, there's a Twitter. And, we have our own band store on there, which you can go to if you want to get any stuff. But we'll be bringing a fair bit of merch out with us on the US tour as well. So
nice.
If you can't be bothered doing that, just wait for us on tour, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, you know what, Greg? Thanks for taking the time out to do this with us today. And, you know, have a great tour and stay safe and be well and hold on the line for 1 second.
Okay, you're welcome. No problem.